Broadcasting live from the beautiful Georgia Aquarium in downtown Atlanta, it is time for WITConnect 2018, brought to you by Fujiyama Wealth Management. Now, here are your hosts.
We are live once again from Moinen Technology, and this time it's 2018. It's WITConnect. We are broadcasting live from the Georgia Aquarium, and I am joined today by Rhonda Vetiri, who is the keynote speaker tonight. How are you doing, Rhonda?
I'm great, Katie. How are you?
I'm doing well. So how are you liking it at the aquarium so far?
It's beautiful. The setting is just amazing, and the fish are floating around, and there's great energy.
Yeah, it is. I love it here. How did you get involved with WIT?
WIT is a long time, I'm a long time member of Women in Technology from my career, and I think it's great from 20 years ago, actually, from when they first started, I've been involved in Women in Technology.
Oh, wow, really? Mm-hmm. So how did you initially get in on like the ground floor of it?
Someone approached me and said, hey, come to this conference. I think you should just join and see what it is. I'm like, what is this? What is Women in Technology? It's women and men. What's going on here?
And so why was getting involved so important to you with Women in Technology?
From when you start out your career, you always look for how you get involved, which is very important. So I went to the conference and all of a sudden everyone was speaking the same language. We're all learning together and we're on the career path helping each other. So it's always been in the heart and soul, Women in Technology.
Absolutely. And so what do you do? What's kind of your day job?
My day job is managing business operations globally. So I am in the thick of running business currently today globally. And my day job is actually leading by example, making sure that I'm leading folks to the vision and mission and turning companies around. So I'm very, very focused on leadership, not just in technology, but a lot of different spectrums.
And so how did you get involved with that leadership aspect? What kind of pulled you down that path?
Great question, Katie. It all starts with leadership. When I started my career, I had a mentor tap me on the shoulder. I didn't know he was going to be my mentor at the time and said, you can actually manage people. We're missing that. So he would move me from division to division and help clean up organizational behavior and change. And along the way, the leadership, which Jerry, Rich, and a couple of the guys on the team, we've come a long way with leadership and moving organizations. So it's very important, that leadership aspect of it.
Yeah. And so just with that leadership aspect, you said, you know, mentorship is clearly very important to you. You had a mentor pour into you. So, I mean, getting involved with organizations like Women in Technology, especially on the ground floor, I mean, as you've seen it grow and flourish over the years, but what does mentorship kind of mean to you, and how important is it for you to kind of give back in the way that you're doing now?
Very important. In and out of the workplace. When folks always say, which are very powerful words, Katie, will you be my mentor?
Yep.
You have to formalize it, number one. Number two, you have to make sure that you're serious about it. I'm very serious about being a mentor in the industry and actually giving back. So I will give folks my time if they're serious, if they're prepared, but also giving back in the communities around the world is important too, to help the communities in different cultures. So mentorship is very close to the heart. I mentor several people. You can't take on too many at once either, because you have to do your day job as well.
Exactly. And so when you say formalize it, and I mean, I guess take it seriously from both ends, right? It's not just the mentor taking it seriously, but the mentee, if they request, you know, wanting to be mentored, they have to take it seriously as well, right?
They have to take it very seriously. And that, will you be my mentor, and not being prepared, I've often said, you're not prepared, you're not taking it serious. This is not a social hour.
Yeah.
You really need to be prepared with the time.
Mm-hmm. And so for you, what does that preparedness look like from both ends?
From both ends.
Yeah.
When I get asked to be someone's mentor, they schedule it. It's on the calendar. Mm-hmm. It's reoccurring. Yeah. Number one, they come prepared with an agenda. Oftentimes they send it ahead of time, which really shows your interest. And what are you trying to get out of it? I always ask, I like to ask folks, what are you trying to get out? My mentors, what I ask them is always candid, responsive, feedback, tell me how I can improve and what's going on in the industry.
Okay. And so do you specifically help as a mentor? Are you looking for or helping people specifically looking for leadership roles or in leadership roles? Or is it really across the spectrum? Anybody just looking kind of for a mentor in any way that you feel you might be able to serve them?
Any way they feel. It doesn't anywhere from 16 years old to 62 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
I look for help. It's not one target. I always just like to help people in their career.
Yeah.
Which often leads to other things in their community, how they give back, how they adopt orphans, how they give back to the community. We just went to Africa and did something. It's global. It's not just sitting behind the desk.
Right. And what did you do in Africa?
Well, Africa, I just got back from Africa and I did multiple things there. I'll talk about the community service. It wasn't just a safari trip with my best friend. We did a community Messiah tribe visit and actually showed them their iPhone for the first time in their life.
Wow.
The chief's son, which was an amazing experience, Katie, for someone's face to light up that has been never been in society, number one. Number two, never seen a technology device.
Wow.
It was really heartfelt in giving back and just learning about the culture. We take it for granted.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've never, you know, been to another country. So it's, I mean, amazing to hear that. And I mean, so you gave them, you were able to give a cell phone. Like that's like the gift that you were able to.
Well, I was actually showing them.
Okay.
The cell phone, the hand, and I have a picture of it. I'll show it to you after the show that you could see their expression on what is this? Because they walk for water. They live differently. It's a different culture altogether. It was in a tribe. It was literally in a tribe.
Wow. And so do you take trips like this frequently or do you try to? Or, I mean, is this... what was the nature of this? Like how it came about, I guess.
This one came about because we were in Africa.
Yeah.
And we made sure we do a community visits wherever we go. In the workplace, in India especially, we make sure we give back to orphans. And the team, we take the whole team, literally the whole organization I'll take, and we'll give back for 6 hours or a day. And just really from the heart, which is a touching story. In India, we've done that as well in the orphanage and talking to folks, adopting them. I encourage everyone to get their passport. We'll talk about that because you mentioned a different country that you haven't been in. But really learning because it's important to learn different aspects. That's how you learn how to do business differently too.
Right. And I mean, it's easy. I know from speaking from my lack of experience, having a narrow scope of just where you live and not knowing anything beyond that. And like you're saying from a business standpoint, that's extremely important, just learning and knowing things beyond your scope.
You have to. You have to think. One of the most things I tell folks is there's only one line on the globe, and that's the equator. And which is very important. To do business globally, you have to learn the different cultures. That's where folks miss out on. People do business differently in Korea versus Hong Kong and Singapore do differently, and they're very close.
Yeah.
In the U.S., It's a whole other topic we could do another show on. It's really close to the heart. It really is.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you have that incredible story of going to Africa and having that experience. Do you have another one that maybe stands out in your mind of traveling or really just one that from a business standpoint or just in your life that sticks out to you having that experience and experience different people, experiencing different cultures, maybe something that stands out?
Yes. I would say hitting the ground running in India.
Yeah.
I'm going to date myself. Oh, don't hold it against me,
never.
Katie. Probably a little less than 20 years, 17 maybe
That's
years.
Not far. That's not long ago.
Oh, seems like an eternity.
It's not.
With myself and one of my, Jerry, my best friend at work, that we hit the ground in India. You can imagine the first female hiring someone from the U.S. in India outsourcing a function. That. And I was walking around, to your point, Katie, what sticks out, walking around, looking up. This is before we had iPhones. We didn't even have Blackberries
right.
back then.
Yeah.
Dating myself. That just taking the time to look up and say, where are we? What are we doing? We're in the middle of chaos in India, but we were calm about it. And really watching how people are transacting and buying things in a different culture and taking that business and learning how their behaviors do business in India. It's very fast, which is great. I love fast pace. I like change. I like, you know, being agile. But back then, those words weren't even in our society, Katie. Yeah. And just taking a moment saying, oh, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. There are no lines in India on the street. They're everywhere. They just drive anywhere they want. Which, that's how they do business.
Wow.
Which is good. If you know that. If you don't know that, and you don't learn that quickly, you can feel very overwhelmed.
Right. And so, I mean, having that experience, I mean, that's incredible. And going to another country and really just immersing yourself like that, like you're saying, looking up and really just seeing it. Did you have the chance, I mean, did you bring these back with you to the United States for your own practices and really just all, like, through the 20 years and just going to India, going to Africa, going to these different places, kind of implementing these things that you learned in your own business?
Yes, we have. And since then, it's blossomed. So we actually do cultural immersions in every country that we're in. So even we'll dress that way. We'll dress in saris. I'll have a sari on. The team members will have the Indian garb. The whole, we immerse ourselves.
Wow.
And I think that's an important aspect that people miss out. And we really enjoy the culture. I would live over there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much we immersed ourselves.
Man. So it's not just going over there and visiting. It's really trying to experience it in a way that you're making yourself part of it. So it's like, it's an experiential learning. It's totally a different kind of learning rather than just kind of sitting and observing. It's really trying to engage in it.
I consider a lot of those folks to this day part of the family.
Wow.
That's how impactful, even in Korea, going to the DMZ, even the different experiences in life. It's every culture we've had a different experience because why? We immersed ourselves.
Right. And so you still stay in close contact with a lot of the people that you've met?
All the time. All the time. And I'll help them. They'll swing back around, give them often a reference, or just reach out, see them on trips. We might not still work together, but we're friends.
Yeah.
And I think that technology enables us to do that.
Yep.
But often folks miss that opportunity to get to know people because they don't look up.
Wow.
And they're looking at that phone.
Yeah. I love that. It's building connections and having face-to-face conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, the building of community, because it is true. I mean, technology is incredible and all that it's been able to do and what we've seen it accomplish. But to your point, it is hard now with getting that interaction, getting that face-to-face and building that community in that more traditional way. And it's like that, you know, you feel alone in a crowded room because, I mean, it's just, you're tied to your phone, you know?
Exactly. And I think oftentimes, even with our friends, how much are they on their phone? I like folks to be present.
Yep. It's so easy. I mean, you're sitting around dinner with your friends and everybody's on their phone. I mean, that's just what happens. And
I will oftentimes, my friends know, and if they're listening, they know who they are, that oftentimes I'll say, I wish you were present more because that you get lost in your phone and you're not experiencing life.
Right.
We'll all take pictures and we'll all do our social media. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But to be in the moment is so important, Katie. It's a lost art. Just like a handwritten note is a lost art. Thank you note.
Absolutely. I agree. And so are you based in Atlanta currently or where are you based out of?
I'm based in New York,
okay.
But I've lived around the world. So I flew in from New York.
Awesome.
And I do have an office here in Atlanta as well.
So do you visit Atlanta pretty frequently or are you mostly just in New York right now?
I'm everywhere. So last year I was on the road 237 days overseas.
Oh my gosh.
So it's hard.
Yeah.
And the team, we like that because to be honest, Katie, if I was sitting in a place in my desk, I'm not doing my job.
Mm.
You have to be out there and be present, know the pulse of what's going on in the organization or you can't lead or manage.
Wow. That is a really great point. And so, but traveling so much, I mean, do you get burned out? Do you ever need kind of a reprieve from that? Or you really just thrive off of that travel?
Well, I like it. So how do I get the energy? I do Ironman. So I train and I do triathlon. So after I landed from Africa, I went and did an Ironman, 70.3 miles. So that's how I energize and with the people around me with good, positive energy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And do you have an athletic background? Were you a former athlete that you kind of just stayed in it?
Well, that's a great question. I'm a swimmer at heart. And I got burned out from swimming, so I left the swimming for over 20 years, and I became a runner.
Okay.
And then I put it all together probably about 4 or 5 years ago and got into triathlons and then up the Ironmans as of last year.
Wow. So the Ironmans, are they all 70.3 miles? Or
there's one that's 140.6, but working a full-time job and traveling, it's hard enough to do 70.3 miles.
Right.
But I have done 2 this year already, Ironmans, and 5 half marathons. So that's how I get my energy to answer your question.
Oh, I love that. I love it. Sports, yes.
Sports. I'm a sports and I'm an NFL girl, Katie.
Oh, that is great. I love that.
And I'll be here for the Super Bowl. So
will you really?
See.
Good.
Yes.
Good. You can come by our studio if you want.
I would love that.
Yes.
Seriously.
We'll stay connected. Absolutely.
Yes.
And so when you said you got burned out pretty early, or I guess a little while ago, with swimming before you started running. So were you a collegiate swimmer? Was it high school or middle school? When kind of did that career kind of fizzle out, I guess?
That was younger, early on, mm-hmm. when I was asked to be trained and keep going back and forth, and I really got burnt out on it going into middle school. And I could have, you know, it's one of the things in life, you go, what do you regret? Swimming's my passion, so I picked it up in triathlon, probably, you know, training for the Olympics. I'm involved in the Olympics now, you know, with the athletes and giving back that way off of the trustee board. But so I do give back, and I'm a huge sports, but I got burnt out in it. Just like anything else, you have to watch what you're doing and how much you intake.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how did you get involved with the on the Olympic trustee board?
Someone approached me, actually. Jason Rizzi. I love Jason. He approached me, and he found me from the industry, and knowing my sports background, and now I love sports.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I'm very competitive at work.
Which is good. It carries over into all areas of your life.
Right.
You need that competitive drive.
Right.
Man, that's amazing, though, that you had that kind of love of sports from a young age, and it's carried through. And I mean, just talking about it is coming out in the conversation. But you see it, too, just with the passion and the fervor that you speak with business. I mean, it's amazing. I love that, how sports can just transcend every area of your life. And if you just, everything that you learn and was instilled within you from a young age in that sports atmosphere can just carry through with you and help you.
It's so important. My mom still watches football to this day. We're huge football fans.
Yeah.
And she instilled that in me in the competition. I think you could tell a lot of folks that are in sports and not that have the background in business.
Yeah.
Or just like the service, if you're in the military.
Yep, absolutely.
It's all about discipline.
Yes, absolutely it is. And for you, I mean, just through your athletic background, your business background, what would you say is the best piece of advice that you ever received?
To learn how to play golf.
Really?
Which I should have taken that up. Exactly. I'll never forget. I was in my early 20s. My mentor that I mentioned earlier, that was tapping me and kept moving me around to different organizations, which I had no idea why I was doing it at the time. But now I knew his method to the madness.
Yeah.
He said, Rhonda, you have to learn how to play golf. And I said, what? And he goes, so much business gets done on the golf course.
Oh.
I learned that too late in life, Katie. I do love to play. All my friends love to play golf. A lot of the business gets done on the golf course. And I think that was one of the best advices I should have listened to that I got. And I picked it up later in life.
So why, do you know why that kind of trend is going that way? Why people, I mean, more business deals are done on the golf course?
More business, a lot of business done on the golf course. I'm a member at Wingfoot. I love a lot gets done out there, Katie. Please go learn how to play golf if you don't know. And you know what? You have to put your phone down.
Yeah.
And be present.
Right. Just put it away for a couple hours.
Which is some folks like. Some folks have digital heroin. They don't like it. But
right.
You have to be in the moment and you have a conversation.
Yeah.
And you're focused on that white ball.
Yeah. Man, I love that. So I have to learn how to play golf.
Yes. Sports.
Just
keep that in your repertoire.
All of it. Just sports. Everything. And I love that. That's great. when are you going to speak? I mean, you're coming up pretty soon, right? You're the keynote tonight.
So, I am.
We'll hear you pretty soon, right?
Thank you, Katie. Yes. Pretty soon, it looks like. Everyone's gathering in a couple hours.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that I was with you to kick this off.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much for being my first interview of the night.
Absolutely. I look forward to many more. And
yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to stay connected, and you're going to stop by the studio for sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Consider it done.
All right. And you're listening to us broadcasting live from WITConnect 2018 at the Georgia Aquarium. Thank you, Rhonda, for stopping by our table. And we will be right back.